Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Shields Date Garden is the only place in the world where you can see and hear the romance and sex life of the date. Back as far as we have any record of dates, man has cut the male flowers from the male palm and placed them in the tops of the female palm.
The large... Today on the Kitchen Sisters present, The Romance and Sex Life of the Date, produced with Lisa Morehouse.
There you can see a female flower is starting to open. The spathe has split. The little yellow beads on the strands, on the elos, those will be dates.
The Halawi and the Barhi come from southern Iraq around Basra. The tradition goes back thousands of years when Alexander the Great passed through in 322 BC. This is what he would have been eating, Barhi dates.
In 1898, the United States Department of Agriculture had this brilliant idea to start a department of agricultural explorers. These explorers were kind of like the Indiana Jones of the plant world. They traveled the globe searching for new crops, exotic crops that they could bring back and encourage farmers to grow commercially. The mango, the avocado, oranges. My name is Sarah C. Cates. I'm a California historian. I grew up in the Coachella Valley in Indio, California, the date capital of the United States. David Fairchild, who started the Agricultural Explorers, chose to go to Baghdad to find dates, in part because he remembered stories from 1001 Arabian Nights, Sinbad, Queen Scheherazade, Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. Fairchild was excited to see where Aladdin had lived, where Sinbad had been.
Basra, the port from which Sinbad the sailor always set sail on his hair-raising adventures, we entered the world's greatest date-growing country. After Paul's recovery from typhoid, we bought several thousand young date palms. Having been shot at once more, we experienced relief when our 9,000 palms were safely stowed on board and headed down the Persian Gulf. I'm John Papineau. I'm a horticulturist. My grandfather had a nursery. He sent my father, Paul, and my uncle, Wilson, to collect date palms. They made the first commercial introductions of these palms about 1911 in the Coachella Valley.
Dates grown in Iraq and Oman came to the United States in these big boxes. The dates stuck together, they lost their shape. It was a lump of sticky mess. Your grocer would take an ice pick and break off as much as you wanted. Around 1910 and 1920, the Hills Brothers Importing Date Company began to advertise heavily to encourage consumption of American dates. They were the first to package dates. Part of their marketing strategy was to tell people how dirty imported dates were, boxes open to dust and flies in people's hands. To convince the consumer that their packaged dates were cleaner, they would often post photographs of white women producing these packaged dates dressed in white uniforms. While Coachella Valley date growers wanted to distance themselves from the perceived disease and dirt of the Middle East, they also sought to incorporate the Middle East as a way to sell and market their dates.
As soon as dates began producing in the Coachella Valley, they capitalized on the exotic Middle East, Arabian Nights tales. It was a way to interest people in coming to what otherwise was a rather forbidding, trackless desert. It made it seem more exotic, more romantic. My name is Patricia Laughlin, Laughlin Date Gardens. I've lived here in the Coachella Valley for 65 years.
There was a renaming of towns. In 1904, Walters became the town of Mecca. There are other towns named Oasis, Thermal, Arabia. Investors from Los Angeles would take a camel ride out to the development called the Walled Oasis of Biskra, led by people dressed in Arabian costume. Hollywood films spurred this craze for all things Middle Eastern. The Queen of Sheba, Cleopatra, Rudolph Valentino, the Sheik.
Dateline, Egypt.
The United States in the 1920s is crazy for Egypt.
In the shadows of the silent Sphinx and the gigantic pyramids,
everything to do with King Tut.
Carloads of relics, as well as the young king's mummy, were removed.
In this tomb, there were treasures, notably gold, but also preserved dates, which caught the attention of people in the Coachella Valley. One man wrote to try and obtain dates from the tomb of Tutankhamun to bring them to put in his date shop.
There were many, many date shops along the highways going west from Indio, maybe 15. We started out selling just out of the kitchen door in the middle of the ranch. My father-in-law would make a date shake in the kitchen for anybody who asked for it. The first date festival I went to, I was very impressed with a setting that's supposed to look like people imagined Baghdad looked. They chose Queen Scheherazade and the princesses, and they always had a genie, elephants and camels.
If you went to Indio in the 1950s, your bank teller might be wearing a fez. At a restaurant, your waitress could be wearing a harem outfit.
Coachella Valley High School sports teams have been known as the Arabs since the 1930s.
You may know about the controversy at Coachella Valley High School, who has had the Arab as their mascot from when it was started. It's an Arab who looks very fierce, which is what you want your football team to be. But in today's world, there is some Arab group that felt it was offensive. And so the high school is in the process of reevaluating.
By the 1970s, a lot of these mom-and-pop date growers sold their date groves to big, large-scale agricultural producers. People were concerned with the hostage crisis and the oil crisis that it would hurt to be associated with the Middle East. But a lot of people were still invested in the agricultural heritage of the date and its Middle Eastern origins.
When the medjool date came in, there were only 9 offshoots that all of the present trees come from. These medjools came from the oasis of Boudinib. It's been wiped out by a disease in Algeria and Morocco. We have sent back good plant stock to return to those areas from which they originated. My husband and I visited. It's over the Atlas Mountains from Marrakesh, out really in the desert. When we got to Boudinib, the mayor came out to greet us. It was a big occasion. And he said, "Why would anyone from the United States want to come to Boudinib?" We had worked with the medjool dates for so many years, and to see where they originated was very meaningful for us.
Our story, The Romance and Sex Life of the Date, was inspired by a piece our co-producer Lisa Morehouse produced in 2013 for the California Report and Latino USA about California's date industry. She visited date shake shops and met with farmers and workers called palmeros in date gardens that line the old highway through towns like Mecca, Oasis, and Thermal.
It's easy to get a little overwhelmed by date palm trees in the eastern Coachella Valley. They're everywhere, filling over 6,000 acres, and they rise 30, 50, even 70 feet.
These are my barjis along here, and these three palms gave over 1,000 pounds of dates last year.
Doug Adair runs a small organic farm called Pato's Dream Dates.
All the medjools can be traced back to a single oasis in Morocco. And now it's one of the main crops. It's not my favorite, but for most people that like a really sweet dessert date, that's the Mercedes-Benz of the date family.
As he walks me through his date garden, Adair explains this isn't seasonal work. Fall is harvest time, but dates require year-round attention. The work cycle begins in January or February. First, the palmeros, or palm workers, have to make the trees safe to work in. They trim the crowns, ridding them of spines with huge thorns, which can impale shoes and flesh.
There's a story that God created the date palm in the Garden of Eden to benefit humanity, and then the devil came along and added the spines to show that he was going to punish the humans for indulging in this amazing fruit.
I visit in March, pollinating season. Workers collect pollen from male date palms and keep their eyes on the brown sheaths that look like tongues on the crests of female palms. These sheaths cover the date flowers.
And then as the flower matures, the sheath splits open. And so you can see the little yellow beads on the strands, on the hilos.
From afar, the flowers look like ears of corn. Up close, like strings of yellow pearls. Now they're ready to pollinate.
There may be thorns here. Let's walk around this way.
We walk to where Adair's land meets his neighbors. Adair came to the Eastern Coachella Valley in the 70s when he was working for the United Farm Workers Union. When he bought a house with nine palms, he partnered with a palmero friend to learn to farm dates, and they split the harvest earnings.
Este es el hilo. Hilo para amarrar la flor. Este. Este es un mandil. Este es un cuchillo. Este y la punta.
That friend is now his neighbor and fellow date farmer, Francisco Pan y Agua. He's prepping his gear before climbing a ladder into the branches of a small palm to pollinate flowers.
When he goes up there, we'll cut that sheath away and then put the male pollen on the female flower.
Es el polen.
There are about 15 flowers on a palm, and Pan y Agua says he can do this task. Expose the flower, tie it, pollinate, plus do a little thinning along the way, in about 12 minutes per palm. Palmeros are considered an elite among farm workers, highly skilled, well-respected, and better paid.
La palma gana uno más que en cualquier otro empleo.
The average palmero makes about $25,000 to $30,000 a year. It's a well-paying job.
But one that comes at a cost.
Hay mucho peligro en la palma. Primero en la escalera.
Palm tree work is very dangerous. First, one must learn how to maneuver the ladder. It's very heavy, about 120 pounds. We have to carry it around. Then there are extremely sharp knives and machetes, countless things to be wary of.
He knows this from a very scary personal experience he had years ago.
One time I fell off the palm tree from about 35 feet high. I was up there trimming the thorns and, well, I fell feet first. I hurt my back, Pato remembers. I had to have surgery and was in the hospital for about 4 months.
Pero algunos sí nos hemos lastimado en el trabajo.
There are stories of palmeros losing control of cumbersome ladders, suffocating under heavy, decaying palm fronds, even dying falling from trees. Emmanuel Benitez, who works with California Rural Legal Assistance, believes the way workers are paid adds to the danger.
The workers work by piece rate. They are paid a certain price for each tree you do. So the more trees you do, the more money you're going to make.
And it's commonly thought palmeras work faster if they don't wear safety harnesses. When Benitez came to the valley in 1999, he was shocked to see palmeras working in 70-foot-tall trees without protection from falls. There weren't specific safety regulations for palmeras then. But Cal/OSHA formed a committee with date growers and advocates like Benitez and drafted safety codes, which went into effect in 2003. Now, along with other regulations, palmeras must wear safety harnesses, and the ladders they climb, which are permanently affixed to the palms, must meet certain specifications. Benitez says he rarely sees employers in violation of the regulations now. Despite these protections, Francisco Pan Iagua is clear about the qualities someone still needs to be a palmero.
Valor. Mucho valor.
Courage.
A lot of energy, especially in the summer because it's very hot. 110, 120, 122, 123 degrees. A lot of courage and a lot of strength is needed to work with palm trees.
The Romance and Sex Life of the Date was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, and independent producer Lisa Morehouse, with Nathan Dalton and Brandy Howell, mixed by Jim McKee.
We'd especially like to thank the National Endowment for the Humanities and the National Endowment for the Arts for their support of the Hidden Kitchen series.
The Kitchen Sisters present as part of Radiotopia, a collective of some of the most remarkable, beautifully conceived and produced shows out there. Radiotopia is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation.
And thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad-serving platform to Radiotopia.
Radiotopia. From PR.